Okay, you're never gonna believe this. This episode is brought to you actually by Showtime and the new comedy series Z Way. More on that later,
Yee.
baby.
Fucking dating and love, seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment. With Kat and Pat.
Hey, it's Kitty
Cat. It is four. Say it with me.
Horses. Yes, my king. I stand you, my king. Hey, it's definitely for horses. You know what? Actually, hey, when I was in Montana last summer, say it with me on my road trip, I found out that my friend's husband actually stacks hay with this big machine, and I got to ride in it with him, and I felt like a little, like, I was like, little farm girl vibes.
Yeah, I think I would like to live on a farm at some point.
Same.
RuPaul has like a big ranch somewhere, but I think he's supposed to have like he fracks on it or something.
Oh, I don't.
I wouldn't frack on my farm if I had a farm.
Either. Wait, okay. So do you want to introduce yourself for the podcast?
Oh yes, I'm Pat.
And
I'm Pat.
This, and so what this is, it's a podcast called
Seek Treatment, and it actually is about and around boys, sex, fucking, dating, and lastly, love.
So it's, you guys know Carrie Bradshaw, right? It's kind of like if her column were recorded.
It's like if her
came
column
to life, but audio only. And it was two people instead of one Carrie. And one, the girl was about three times the size of Carrie. And the boy was gay.
You're as gay as a matter of fact. Kind of the, you know what's his name? I'm kind of the Stanford.
Yeah. I love that actor. It's called Stanford University.
I know, that's why it can't be. That can't be the
name.
No,
it's Stamford, isn't it? The name is
Sanford. I forget.
Stanford.
Allison, we're breaking the fourth wall. We only break the fourth wall in emergency situations, and this qualifies because we can't remember what that guy's name is. Is it Stanford?
Stanford. Carrie's best friend is named after a school. So basically, Pat, your name is Harvard.
But that's actually such a credit. That's such a credit to that actor because I never think of
totally.
The school Stanford when they say his name. I think of him, which mean, and I have such.
I never think of the school. I also don't really. Yeah, I just don't connect with California, and that's where Stanford is.
Well, I think about Stanford all the time because you know a lot of my favorite runners went there and ran.
But
there.
You know what's odd? Oh, wait, by the way, I don't mean to be annoying about this, but like I really, really need you to watch that TikTok I sent you a few days ago.
Oh, yeah. I did. You know, it's hard for me to watch TikToks.
I know, but I think now's a perfect time. Why don't you grab your phone?
I have to be honest.
What's going on with your audio?
For me, what's going on with your audio?
I just pulled my microphone out of my suitcase, so I'm like, I hope I didn't damage it.
Oh,
okay, I have
a
few things to say. Obviously, I feel like the biggest loser in America.
Why?
I'm a loser, but I'm not allowed to say that.
Why?
Brian was just like, stop saying that. Yeah, I guess because Brian's like, what is... He just thinks my worldview is fucked, which, it, say it with me, absolutely is. Like, I'm such a perfectionist, and I'm so obsessed with being, like, the best at everything and successful. And, like, so I always think I'm a loser if things aren't 100% perfect. And he's like, the way you throw around the term loser is really, like, troubling for me. So I'm trying not to say I'm a loser.
Oh, that's
anymore.
Good. You're not a loser.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like one today.
Why do you feel like one? Do you feel comfortable saying?
I actually can't even share. It was just, like, a very bizarre... fully inconsequential thing that I saw on Instagram that of course made my whole day bad.
I wonder if using my my talents for deduction I can wonder I wonder if I can wonder what you saw on Instagram, because I feel like I saw something on Instagram recently.
It was a few things, and I think they're all in the same family of things. But more interestingly than that, I'm back in New York, and I feel relieved. I feel emotional. I feel like the smell of spring and the city is vibrant. And I'm like, it was truly like being alone for that long, like, I actually have sensory overload everywhere I go. I feel so blissful.
I'm on Long Island. That's why I'm in my sister's room. So I'm also in this crazy space. And this is what it feels like to be a podcaster, to be juggling a million balls at once. I'm in my parents' home on Long Island. It's too hot because they do not turn the air conditioner on to save the famous thing called money. And
that makes the world go round.
And Angelo is here. So he's like down. You know when you're like, Sig-O is like there, and you're like, I can't be there right
now. Yeah. It's like loose in the house. The Sig-O is loose in the family home.
He's loose in the family home. So like, who knows loose what that Sig-O means for anyone.
I literally, so my parents are coming to town at the end of the month because they're full of acts now. And they've like planned a lot of like meals and stuff for us. My mom was like, you know, tell Brian he doesn't have to come to everything. I know he's logged a lot of hours with us and I don't want him to feel pressured.
Oh,
and
my God. Like, that's so kind, though.
I know. And also he was like, that's so kind. And I was like, obviously, oh, he doesn't have to come to everything. Wait, so anyways, New York is really like, to be on the subway wearing a skirt and like, I just felt really emotional.
Totally.
You know why? Because it's like we missed an entire year of our lives. It's like I moved away.
Yeah.
And I'm coming back to this place where I used to live. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I used to live here. And
yeah,
like,
totally. I know. And I'm going to be out of New York for the next like week and a half, I think. Because we're going to Rhode Island after this.
Oh, nice. Well, wait. So can I just tell you about this TikTok if you're not going to watch it? Because it's really like for
I don't have my phone like with me right now. So I
that's
can't
okay.
watch
it's
it.
A, so basically it's this teenage girl who's like finished her cross country race.
Oh, I did see that. I did.
Like,
I did watch that. Yeah, yeah.
I'll explain for the listeners. Basically, her parents are like, good job. And she's like on the phone with her friend. And she's like, oh, my God, mom, people are already getting ready for homecoming. And she's like, your hair appointment is until 3. And it's just like it's like Pat Regan's.
Oh, yeah. That is.
It's so you in so many ways. It's like the things that excite you.
There's always a meet like the day of prom and it's like who's gonna show up, who really cares. And it's like usually for my school it would be like the boys would go to the meet, the girls would skip the meet.
I love the idea of like prom being something you take the entire day to get ready for.
Yeah, I know. Well, it kind of was that in a way.
I know. You know what I just did? I actually did some very adult spring cleaning. I bought these storage bags and I put all my winter clothes and big coats under my bed.
Oh, that's smart. I'm not ready for it to be 80 plus yet at all.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
Not
don't
ready
get me started.
At all
the way my thighs are connecting with each other at all hours of the day right now. Like if I walk a mile, I'm like, okay, I'm bloody, bloody Andrew Jackson. Anyone remember that musical? Anyone remember that hit musical?
Me too. That's how I feel too. And I call it, for some reason, I've started calling it diaper rash. So whenever it, like, I get, like, that kind of irritation, I say I have diaper rash. But wait, what was your prom experience? I'm not sure if I know.
Yeah, it was kind of uneventful because no one asked me, which is, like, why I have a podcast. But no one asked me for my school. So my friend, like, told this other guy we were friends with from a different school to ask me. So, like, we just went as friends. And he famously came to my house to ask me. And I just, this is so quintessential. I was having the feeling part two, which is when you come home from your religious high school and you take your skirt off and get in bed.
Oh, my God. There's nothing. There's nothing like getting out of your uniform for once in your life.
I know. So I'm laying in bed under the covers in my Episcopal high school polo shirt with no pants. And this guy walks up the stairs and he's like, Catherine.
Wait, sorry.
And
he,
I'm sorry.
Is it okay if I use this room? Is it okay if I use this room for a little while? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Sorry, that's my little sister poking her
love
head
her
in
hey,
to
girl.
See what the deal
hey,
was.
Our podcast is a family affair, family style.
I know.
Anyways, he walked up the stairs to ask me to prom and I couldn't get out of bed because I like wasn't wearing pants. And in high school, that obviously felt very scandalous. But we went, and it wasn't that fun.
What is the German word for when someone goes to prom with someone from a different school? It could mean so many different things. It's like when someone goes to prom.
It could mean you're cool, and in this case, it wasn't that.
Yeah, totally.
And then the other thing was, like, half of us in the limo, like, wanted to drink and half didn't. But, like, we only had this, like, tiny bottle of Kahlua. So I was, like, ripping, like, one shot of Kahlua. And I was like, oh, why am I sober? This sucks.
Totally. I went with this girl. And what was I going to say? It was so important what I was going to say. Something about other school going
with.
What
did you go with?
I went with this girl called Lauren. And isn't that tale as old as time, going to prom with someone named Lauren.
Yeah.
It's like literally the first story ever told.
Before Adam and Eve, there was Lauren.
there was a person going to prom with Lauren. The oldest profession is going to prom with Lauren.
The cave drawing.
it was a nondescript stick figure, and then the stick figure in a dress with an arrow pointing to it saying Lauren. If you didn't go to prom with a Lauren, seek treatment. So, yeah, my prom story was for some reason I was like in this fight with this person named Rob Malone, shout out to him, who was a sprinter, and like I didn't connect with him. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, like, we were in some fight, and like a lot of my friends were like taking his side, which I felt like not comfortable with. Mm. And even the friends of mine that weren't taking his side, they like weren't completely taking my side. And so he was going to be at after prom, so I felt like uncomfortable. And
what were you fighting about?
I think like I had talked shit and he like heard, and I was like, yeah, like that's my whole entire thing. Like, I was being funny for one single second. Do you mind? It's the only thing I have. do you mind if I have the thing I have? The only thing I have.
There
for
are going to be
second?
Some casualties if I'm going to have the thing that I have. Yeah. And Rob Malone might be one of them.
Yes. And so we went, and then this is like, okay, so then also like, I had like a really small elementary school of like 50 kids and like a huge high school of like thousands and thousands. So like I never saw anyone from my elementary school in high school, except like one of the peripheral friends of the track group started dating a girl from my elementary school. So it was this weird full circle moment where at after prom, it was at her house. So I was at like this girl from my elementary school's house in tents. For some reason, it was like tents. Mm-hmm. And everyone drinking, for some reason, the thing was to drink 40s. It was like,
oh my God,
it was like adjacent to Edward 40 Hands, but like, mm-hmm. but then it was then turned into just drinking 40s. And then I threw up, I think. I drink a lot. I threw up. And also, Lauren was not interested in hooking up with me, but she did want to hook up with this guy who she had been like dating but broke up with, who was also there. And it was just like, and then we went to a beach and it was like too hot at the beach and there was too many flies.
That's like too many activities.
Yeah, oh no, in the morning. We did that in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we went to Dave & Buster's after the prom, and I was like, this is a really long night, isn't it?
Yeah, there's, we went bowling after junior prom. It's like, it's always like, prom, especially at a Catholic school, is like, it's like, there's like a brother or like a nun talking to you the day before, like telling you like different activities you can do besides drink after prom. And they're like,
I think there were two kids who like literally had to be taken out in an ambulance because they'd like done too much cocaine at the prom.
We didn't have coke at our prom.
We randomly, like, my school had like this small group of like super rich drug addicts.
Oh, that's chic.
I think they're all like really successful and thriving now. So like literally, life's a game.
Life's
and
a game.
Have fun.
Life's a game and have fun. But anyways, what are you doing?
There's chocolate. There's chocolate on my ottoman. Is that something?
It's so devastatingly hot in this room that like I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can move forward in my life anymore. But what are you doing this weekend?
What can we do to fix it?
There's nothing that can be done.
Tomorrow night I'm having dinner with all my college friends, which will be really fun. I haven't seen them in a while. And yeah, just getting back in the New York groove.
That's fun.
I just love it here. I did a HIT class online today. It was really hard.
Oh, I don't like how people call it HIT because I think it's the word HIT, like a popular class. For me, it's like just call it HIIT. But also, I don't know, whatever.
HIIT. Who has the time?
I mean, it's true.
What are you doing? So wait, actually, when are you, what are you guys
so
doing?
So we're here probably until Sunday, and then Angela, I came out for my shot, which made me devastatingly ill for like 48 hours.
How are you feeling?
Because I really don't feel anything. My body's basically dead for all intents and purposes. And so I was expecting that, since I'm dead, I was expecting not to feel the shot. And and though what I will say is even dead people feel it. And I, at like that night, the night of the shot.
You had Moderna, right?
I had Moderna. I started getting very bad chills and like fever, and then woke up and I still had that. And then I was sweating. And then I kind of, for a full day, the only thing I could do was watch Cruel Summer on Hulu/Freeform.
Wow, I've never heard of that program.
It's about kids, first and foremost. Okay. It's really good. It's about, so the first of all, the main girl is literally a talent. It's insane how much of a talent she is. It's set on her birthday in 1993, 1994, and 1995.
Oh, those
just
are
just that
fun
one
years.
Day. That one day in those 3 years. Yeah, so like there's that in my head. in my head. Like, that song's part of the show because it's from that time period. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Radiohead.
And so, is that Radiohead?
Yeah. Oh, wait.
But it's a girl who sings that.
Is it the Cranberries?
I don't think it's the Cranberries, but I think it's someone who, like, is friends with the Cranberries.
People will be literally so mad.
I'm going to get 95 DMs of, like, who. I think it was a person who was friends with the Cranberries. Who sang?
I think it is the Cranberries.
Who sang in my head?
Who sang Zombie, the Cranberries?
Oh, Zombie, it's called.
Anyways.
Oh, but anyways.
You know what? We're not cutting that because we think it's cool that we don't know shit.
Oh, definitely we're not cutting it. That was, like, prime content, like, kind of not knowing something.
That was, you're right. I'm going to pitch that and sell that to HBO Max.
I think when I was saying, like, it was someone who was friends with the Cranberries, I think that was kind of a funny thing to say. Don't you think that was a little funny? Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was really funny. Like, I know what you mean because I think that genre, those years, those radio songs.
I wish I was alive in 1992 for once. But even though I was alive in 1992 and I was four. But I wish I wasn't four because I couldn't take
it. I wish we were coming of age yet, not now.
Oh, absolutely not now. But
definitely earlier. It's so bad now.
What was I going to say? I wish that I was alive before phones. And I was, but I wish I was alive in a meaningful way before phones. And by that, I mean 30 plus.
I wish I was alive, like, during the show The Nick.
I have not watched The Nick. Isn't that where they, like, invent surgery?
Yeah, it's just, like, where there, you live in these, you get to live, basically, in the time of The Nick, everyone gets to live in a brownstone and wear, like, big gowns and doesn't really do much.
I was just thinking, like, the person who invented surgery, it's like, what was that like? Like, he was like, this is crazy, but I think I might cut you actually open and see if I can, once I'm in there, kind of fix everything. You know what I mean? Like, the first person who was like, wait, I have an idea, cutting someone open and, like, moving all the shit around.
It's so crazy, and the show is so disgustingly gory and gruesome. I got bored of it, but there's some good ups.
But anyway, Cruel Summer, it's about this group of teens in the 90s, and, like, one girl disappears, and then, like, it comes back, and, like... And it's just this, like, mystery where you don't really know what happened and you don't trust anyone. You actually don't trust anyone.
That sounds actually really good. That's, like, a genre I really like.
It makes me, like, it really made me, like, respect Freeform and, like, be like, wow, Freeform has stepped into its own.
You know, I had a general with them about 45 years ago, and I thought, I really like these people.
Yeah, so, I mean, we are, officially, our podcast supports the channel Freeform.
It'd be incredible. You know, we have so many people who like our work, and it's, like, definitely feel free to put it, like, on TV at some point.
Yeah. Oh, you have to talk about that, Sam. That person, Sam, did another illustration. It was so good.
Oh, he's love so funny. His work. Sam, you're so talented.
But anyways.
That was such a good clip. You know what's so funny? People were like, when I posted that on TikTok, people were like, no offense, but Pat's so funny. And I was like, yeah, he's the funniest person in America.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, I was like, you could feel free to celebrate my friend on my page.
Yeah, why would they say that?
Never, I don't know. Never be scared to celebrate my friend on
my page. I'm really enjoying having a Substack.
Oh, I loved your piece so much. Brian loved it. We were talking about it. We were talking about the wrap dress comment was a favorite for both of us.
Oh, good. I feel like
I'm in a place.
What?
Oh, I was just saying, I'm in a place physically with my body weight right now where I actually can only wear clothes that are wrap dresses or wrap dress adjacent, because things that maybe do a traditional zip or button aren't doing that right now. And I say that with the utmost love.
Since I started living in a bigger body, which is how my eating disorder woman words it, I have felt Whoa. That even like clothes that used to fit me, like, they physically look smaller. Like, physically, they look smaller. I'm like, oh, this is a doll's clothing. I was like, oh, no, I used to wear that before when I was living in a smaller body.
Yeah, when I was living in a smaller body, I remember holding up big pants and being like, there's no way those would fit me. And now I look at my pants and I think there's no way. And then they're fitting.
They're fitting the body that you're living in.
They're fitting the body that I'm currently living in. And that can always change. What was I going to ask you about? Oh, yeah, so the Substack experience. But there was something else.
Well, because I was saying my weekend. So I was like, so basically, like, I came out here to get my shot. And then, like, Angela came on last night. And now we're here till, like, Sunday. Then Angela has to finish his work at Brown. So we'll go back there. And I'll probably, like, just hang out with his family. Because it is fun. His niece and nephew are really fun. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I got his nephew Pokemon cards.
I loved him posting about the mural he was redoing.
Yeah, that's what he's finishing
so
up.
He's so talented. It's crazy.
He didn't, and what's, he is very good at like figuring shit out. Like he's never done that before, and he just like
took
the gig.
That's insane.
Yeah, and he did a really good job. He restored a mural at Brown University, and he did a really good job with it. But now he's finishing it. But he had to like figure out like what technique to use and like look at how it was originally done, and then like make a stencil or something, and then like make sure the brush directions were right, and like mix the color to get like just the right color. It's really crazy what some people are willing to do to make a wall look a certain way.
I remember what I was gonna say, which is that at least my tits are huge right now.
Oh, that's great.
They're massive. I've actually been I say this with I celebrate this. I've been sort of titty fucking my boyfriend.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah,
titty fucking like, is something even I can say, yeah, that's objectively hot, I think.
It's kind of a novelty because like does it feel good for me? No, it's not like touching my pleasure centers necessarily,
totally.
But it's just because it's erotic, it is a turn on. And
yeah, well, is it just in the, actually, is it just in the beginning, or is it like something that it's just for a part of it, right? You don't just do that to completion.
Yeah, we don't exclusively.
That would be crazy. That would be actually
he never
crazy
touches my pussy. I just titty fucking. That's our relationship. No, actually, it was funny because
you're Christian. Because you're Christian.
Because I'm saving my pussy and asshole for marriage. But my tits are for the Lord and the Lord's children. But basically, because we were away for so long, we've been having a lot of sex the past 2 days, and I am sore. But I wanted to make him come from tits. And he did that, I think. When he did come, it was, like, very intense, I could tell. And then so I was like, okay, I'm just, like, I'm so hot, I'm so sexual. I was like, you liked that, didn't you? And he was like, actually, it was almost painful.
Oh, really?
I was squeezing the wrong thing too hard or something.
another thing that needs a German word, I think, is for those people who do have penises, it's sort of like when someone's engaging with it in a way that's just a little bit too much of something, and it like kind of hurts, but like you know they have the best of intentions.
Totally.
So you don't, like, when someone's doing something to your, you know they have the best of intentions and they only mean well, and like sometimes it just doesn't work the way they think it's working, and so it's like such a fragile moment because you have to kind of shatter their dreams and be like, actually this is physically the opposite of what you were hoping it was doing. It was actually physically hurting me by accident.
Well, I have some news for you. People with vaginas feel the exact same way. I think
really?
There is not a person with a vagina among us who has not been finger fucked in a way that was definitely more painful than pleasurable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, a little bit softer.
You know.
I'm always like, oh, tease me. Tease me. Okay, don't fucking hammer your fist.
Tease me.
is cunt, what is the deal with cunt?
I think it's, what do you mean?
People act like it's like you can't say it, but then British people are like, you say it all. You say it every day. You say it at church. You call your grandmother it.
I think it's something that, like, I don't know. I think I've heard women use it in an empowering way as, like, to poke fun at it, the way that I might call, like, a gay friend a faggot. You know what I mean? In a way that, obviously, if a straight person said that, I would be like, you suck.
That would be...
But, yeah.
I just laughed at that idea. As if it isn't,
For some reason, that, like, isn't truly in my lexicon. Like, it's just not part of... It doesn't appeal to me to say that word. But
I use it sometimes in the boudoir, as you would say.
I think... Yeah, that to me seems okay. But I think that, like, if it's, like, a man saying it to a woman in a mean way, then I think it's supposed to be, like, really bad.
Yeah, well, I definitely don't like that. I don't want men to talk to me really at all unless they're praising me.
Yeah.
For my body and nothing else. No, not my mind. Every now and then, and this happens maybe, you know, once every solar eclipse or whatever, like, I get a DM from a straight man who's like, I really dig your work. And it's like,
yeah.
I actually, like, I honestly laud you. I laud you for thinking that you were, like, reinventing the DM.
Yeah, yeah.
By not, like... And I also got a DM, which I actually absolutely loved. I guess, like, 10 years ago, someone had DM'd me, like, you're hot. And then, like, last week, they like, bumped the message. They said, hey, still hot. And I was like,
oh, that's
okay.
Great.
I was like, that's actually funny. And I actually love that. I'm not going to respond. But I needed that, especially as someone who's now living in a bigger body.
There's, it's funny, like the phrase your work is something that I've gotten to, and with someone to compliment said, like, I like your work. And it's funny because I have to like stop for a moment and be like, is that, have I done any work? You know what I mean? Like, have
I, I'm like, is work what the word? Do I make?
Yeah.
But is work the word?
Is work the word?
My oeuvre.
Work the world tour.
I know. I'm trying to be in a place where I'm like zooming out and being like, okay, girl, you should be proud of yourself. You've actually accomplished a lot in your tiny little life.
Mm-hmm. And you have.
Some days aren't yours at all. They come and go like someone else's days. Regina Spektor, anyone? That's a throwback. Love her.
Who, oh, I don't know. I'm not like
yeah,
like,
not really
someone who knows her.
I'm wearing these things called runner's recovery sandals. Do you want to see them?
Yeah. Oh, I've heard of those.
My dad got them for me. I like them.
Some runners wear them. They kind of came into vogue with runners like 10 years ago, and like I feel like no longer.
Okay. Well, I'm still here.
I'm still high. Doing that
what
one?
Is that Maggie
Rogers. Oh. That's Maggie Rogers.
Showtime presents Z Way, the riotously funny new variety series from writer, comedian, performer, and internet sensation Z Way, a no holds barred mix of musical numbers, interviews, guest stars, and sketches that challenge America's discomfort with race, politics, and other cultural issues. Z Way is the most provocative and hilarious new voice in comedy, and dear friend of the show. America, you'd be an iconic guest. Z Way premieres Sunday, May 9th at 11 p.m. only on Showtime, where, yes, I used to work. Calm down.
Oh my god, we can't wait. Z-Way is, of course, a friend of the show. Of course. I watched the trailer and it is so gorgeous. The clothes are beyond. I'm so excited to see.
Yeah. Z-Way is, before times we perform comedy around this town, and you know, it's always a treat when Z-Way's on the lineup. We have so much fun with her. She's one of the funniest girls that I've ever seen perform, and I am so excited to see her on the screen. I cannot wait to see this show.
I have to share, I mean, Z-Way is, of course, a style icon, and I remember seeing her, you know, at the Bell House in a cat suit, and now to see her on a television program and all these fantastic looks, I'm very excited. So join the hype. Don't be scared. Please. Just stream new episodes of Z-Way every Sunday at 11 only on Showtime, which is actually one of the chicest networks,
I feel. And we can't wait for it.
Okay, here we go. Do you dread looking at your credit card statement every month? We don't blame you, babe. But Upstart can lift that weight off your shoulders so that you can finally feel the relief of being free of credit card debt.
Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online.
Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment.
Unlike other lenders, no offense, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, like your income and employment history. This means they can offer smarter rates with trusted partners.
With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans between $1,000 to $50,000.
You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. So find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/seek treatment.
And honey, you know that's upstart.com/seek treatment. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we, Pat and Kitty Cat Cappuccino, we sent you to Upstart. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. So just go, run, don't walk to upstart.com/seek treatment. Okay, you know what? I am rediscovering my love for Sweet Green.
Oh, of course. I rediscovered my love for Dig In during a couple months ago, because I got a haircut. So I got a haircut at Williamsburg, and I was like, and now at this point, like, I'm in Williamsburg. It's nice out. The world is my oyster. So
totally.
I went to McNally Jackson, and then I went to Dig In. Yeah, it was like a heaven. It was a heaven of a day.
You know,
got Dig In by myself.
dig into me as part of what I think is problematic. It's called sweet potato culture.
Yes,
it's like all of a sudden it's like, can we fucking relax? Like with sweet, everything is sweet potato. Like how about a normal potato? It's not, they're fine. Totally. They're vegetables.
And you know what else?
Chill the fuck out.
You know what else is a huge part of sweet potato culture in that way? Something called farro, which no one's ever bothered to stop and explain what it is. They're like, do you want farro or rice? It's like, I don't know what farro is. And you know, and you know what? You know, I don't know what it is.
It tastes good, but it's the same health as rice to me. And people act like I hate when someone acts like something's healthy when it's just like the same as a normal thing.
Well, quinoa to me, sometimes quinoa feels like it's the same health as rice.
I know, but I think
quinoa does have protein.
That's why it's different.
Yeah, that's why it has a greater health.
But farro and sweet potatoes and like cat, like when they make cheese out of nuts, it's enough to have a little bit of cheese.
Though I had to say, like, I totally agree with you, but then like at the end of the day, like when you get your bowl and like they give you the sauces to pour on it, like it slaps at the end of the day.
So you have to while.
And so you have to give it up, as they say. But wait, what was I going to say? My boyfriend's nephew is like getting into Pokemon because I talked about this already, but it's just like making me realize how much I know about Pokemon, which is weirdly giving me confidence. You know when all of a sudden you're talking to someone and you realize you know a lot about something and you're like, I actually am in my power, I do have a brain, I know things.
That topic for me is when people start talking about like vocal health, I'm like, I could talk all day for once. I have information on this.
Yeah, for me, it's I didn't know this. It's Pokemon, yeah. And it's also like running, obviously.
Well, of course, Pokemon. I know about Charizard. I know Charmander. I know Jigglypuff.
Did you know? Actually, every young child in my career as a childcare professional, I have noticed this. Many young children go through a phase where they call Pikachu. Either they call Pokemon Pikachus or they call Pikachu Pokemon. Like they can't understand that Pikachu is a Pokemon. And so it's just funny because little kids always go through this phase. And so my boyfriend's nephew kept calling Pikachu Poke. He kept calling him Poke. And every time I had to say Pikachu.
Right.
And he kept doing it. It took a long time for me to teach him that that's not called Poke. That's Pikachu.
I remember I took child developmental psychology in college and they said that is a phase.
Yeah.
Give it up for my joke. I couldn't even say it. Like I literally could. I was like, you know why? Because as I started saying it, I was like, wait, child developmental. I was like, is that a class? I feel like it was. Like
it was. I took that class.
I took one psychology class, I took it with the guy who was my boyfriend at the time, and so we'd always just like study.
I was a psych major for like one single second, and I took that class, and me and my friend Keith weren't together, and that was the first time I took Adderall. It was like us like studying for it, and
oh my god
this is incredible.
It really is incredible, but it's
unfortunately
it's scary what drugs are like.
It's scary how drugs are and what drugs are like. Okay, so now we have a guest I'm so excited about. Give it up for Erin Foster, and I think she'll be joined by her sister Sarah Foster shortly.
She'll be like a bat out of hell, like racing in the door in 5 minutes and then scream at me for starting without her.
But I think it's fun to have like to have that kind of excitement of someone joining the podcast midway through. To me, is something we've never done before, and it's innovative and exciting.
And totally. We don't know what her like attitude about it's going to be, which is always fun to know like what energy she comes in the room with.
Totally. I actually find that oftentimes people are kind of like their best versions of themselves when they arrive late, and they're kind of in that frenzied state because, for one, they're so apologetic. Mm-hmm. For two, they like just want to be of service to those in the room. And for three, for some reason, I just think they like kind of are in their element and are always kind of like, actually they dive right in and hit it off or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm
or
so funny.
It brings out the worst in someone.
We'll find out. Wait, Erin, how are you? What's going on?
You know, listen, I'm not going to lie. It's been a stressful day. We just had a long meeting where we basically fought about every single thing we could fight about. And
you and Sarah?
Yeah. And so we have a fun working relationship where we like fight about something horribly, and then we like drive to go do a podcast together and just like either pretend like it didn't happen or like continue the fight passive aggressively next to each other.
I would like, if I can put in my order, I would order that you guys continue the fight in the podcast. And since we both are trained mediators and social workers first and foremost, we're social workers first, comedians second, models third, and podcasters actually fourth.
So we're actually like catching you at your lowest point right now.
Yeah. Totally. Yes. Yes, exactly.
I think it'd also be fab if you kind of began to manipulate Pat and I and turn us against each other while you two continued the fight, just to add extra drama to the situation.
I would love that. My real goal is to turn you against Sarah, though. That's my like main focus, obviously.
Totally.
Well, as someone who's never met Sarah, I'm on your side so far.
Don't I seem like a lovely, reasonable person already?
You do. You do. Wait, so...
doors are opening.
Wait, so what...
So is it happening?
I don't know.
I love this color you're wearing, kind of like a lavender...
You know, it's funny you should say that, because this is a favorite daughter sweater that we just came out with, and I'm really loving that you're complimenting it because it's ours.
It's very cute.
Sarah has arrived, guys.
Cool.
She's not even speaking.
For those listening at home, what's happening is Sarah's getting settled. And so we're all kind of on pins and needles. And we're all like, what's going to happen? And
here she is.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. Oh, my God. You guys both always look gorgeous. It's so intimidating.
Apparently, there's 4 million people on the road today.
I just want to be clear. Your boob is basically almost out of that shirt.
Ooh, do we have a video component to this podcast?
Because that's God,
there's
no.
There's no video. Oh. With just
I would never
the girls
do that.
Here.
I would never do that to a guest.
What a waste.
And I would empower all three of you to free the nipple and just go topless for the remainder of the episode, because there is not a video component.
Pat,
here.
Stop trying to get us to bring our nipples.
By
out.
The way, I never knew that my nipples were fully lopsided. One is down there. Wait, this is actually mind blowing.
I've always known that about you.
We've never had a guest realize that they're
as someone who just met you, also they look totally symmetrical to me.
One goes this way, the other goes this way, but it's cool. It's
you can probably reposition your boobs and straighten that
I mean
out.
I paid a lot of money for these, so now I'm kind of pissed.
Oh, my left boob is way bigger than my right, and I've had to make that work for the last 29 years.
Mm-hmm. Everyone I think has a one bigger. My left is bigger.
Oh, nice.
Right, but you didn't pay to have perfect
we
boobs.
Have that in common.
Yeah, we have that in common.
Your
God made ours.
Left-handed,
made Sarah's.
I want my money back. Okay, let's go. What did I miss?
So, we just were catching up about your day. So we know that you guys had a meeting, and Catherine complimented Erin's sweater, which we found out was favorite daughter. So we're just kind of settling in, chit-chatting. How's your day so far, Sarah?
You know, I'd say my stress level is at like a 400.
Out of 10?
Out of 10.
Have you guys lived in LA? Have you lived in LA your whole lives?
Yes. With the
exception
of one chic year that I lived in Switzerland.
Oh my God. Oh. That sounds fab.
Why'd you only go for 1 year? You were so happy there. You tell everybody it was life changing, but then you left.
Well, it's a very 16-year-old reason why I didn't go back.
Well, it just occurred to me. Like, you're always like, oh my God, Switzerland, boarding school. I'm so evolved. I was the only one that went away and became European, but you only went for a year.
Well, I have an explanation for that. And like I said, it's a very 16-year-old explanation. When you're 16, you don't make rational decisions. And I had the best year of my life. I also had my first boyfriend. I lost my virginity. And then that guy broke my heart and I swore off the whole country. I couldn't go back.
Very driver's license kind of vibe.
So who is this guy and where is he now?
I want to hold space for the fact that it's an incredible experience to lose your virginity at a Swedish boarding school.
Thank you for saying that.
I just want to hold space for that.
I appreciate that. It was actually in a castle in Italy, if you want to get
are you?
Real
oh, my
it.
God.
Because he was rich.
I actually paid for the entire weekend.
Had such a good year in Switzerland that she actually had sex in a castle in Italy. That's how good of the year she had in Switzerland.
I actually funded the entire weekend, which is sort of what my
but
life was
had
like
no
as a
money.
Teenager.
How did you do that?
Well, let me rephrase that. My parents funded our weekend. And... anyway, he was from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and that's what happened. Anyway, he ended up breaking my heart. I was 16, and I was just like so upset by it that I couldn't like go to the same places we had been. I couldn't go to the same cafes. I couldn't be in the same dorm room. And so I decided to finish out high school at another well-known, amazing school called Malibu High School. which is a public school where you do not get, I don't think, the higher education that I was getting in Switzerland.
Well, you know what's so crazy is that I went to Italy and I didn't even have sex in a castle. So for you to go to Switzerland and get to have sex in a castle in Italy, that's, we have to give it up for that.
Thank you.
We have to hold space.
But the joke's on Chattanooga, guys. The joke's on Chattanooga because she rebounded with Chad Michael Murray.
Yes.
Okay.
Years
oh
later.
My God.
No, that was
that's incredible.
Later, wasn't it?
Well, this is high school. I guess it was 2 years later.
Yeah. You guys met at a WB party when you were like a teen.
That's true. I was like 17, 18.
This is like 30 years ago, guys. So this is like other lifetimes
ago. These were many lifetimes ago.
But still, I mean, that's when you want to hook up with Chad Michael Murray. You know what I mean?
Listen,
that's when
you got to get him at his. You got to get him at his peak. And I have to say, I had him at his peak. Cinderella Story, Dawson's Creek.
Oh my God! Peak. Cinderella Story.
How did Tennessee break up with you?
You know, I will be honest. I broke up with him first because I went through a series of, like, basically the majority of my relationships until I met my current husband, I would like be so into someone and like really obsessed with them. And then about a month in, I would find them, like, they'd do one tiny, tiny thing that would make me literally hate them and want them to get like hit by a car for no reason. Yeah. And there was a moment where like I was obsessed with this guy. And then we were like hiking in the snow to like go to some like hideaway spot to like make out, and he like tripped, and I turned around, he had like snow all over his face, and he like looked at me like really goofy, kind of like just like he wasn't like an adult man, he just looked like a child to me. And in that moment I was like, I never want to talk to you again, like I just can't handle that fall. It was just too like feminine or something, like the way he fell, like something happened that just like turned me off. And totally. And I just like kind of broke up with him, and then realized my mistake a couple weeks later, and then he wouldn't get back together with me, and then okay. I became heartbroken.
So, you know, I have to say now, initially when I thought he broke up with you, like the Chad Michael Murray of it all was empowering, but now it feels mean to break up with someone for falling in the snow and then to move to Chad Michael Murray actually is actually bullying.
Pat, I just like fair. You. I thank God the world is seeing that Erin is just totally phony, this whole thing she puts out there, that she's like relatable and like so kind and like empowering to all. Like, she's a full-blown bully who dumps someone because he had snow on his face. Like, this is, I'm happy the world gets to
okay,
see this.
Okay, but again, I was 16 years old, and then when I realized, like, oh, wait, I made a mistake, I may have judged a little harshly, let's get back together, and he had moved on with the coolest girl in school who was a year older than me. She had a shaved head. It, like, nothing was cooler than that in high school. And she was skinnier than me and cooler, and then I just couldn't, and then I was heartbroken. But yeah, you're right, I deserved it. I guess I deserved it.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And I'm curious, when you met your husband, what was different about him that you didn't get, as they call it on Love Island, the ick?
I have to say, it's really strange because literally everything was different. Like, I was so in a place in my life. I was 35 years old when I met my husband, and all of my relationships had sort of had similar trajectories. They were just like toxic, bad, unhealthy. I was only interested in people who are like, you know, horrible people. Anyone who was like lovely and loved me, I thought was a loser.
And you always found weird things wrong with people. Always. Like, you'd be like, oh, he laughs too much. Oh, he cries too much. Oh, he does this thing when he eats where like food occasionally will like fall out of his mouth. It's like these all normal things. Like, you would always find wrong with guys you were really into. And Simon was the first person where you were like, nothing annoys me.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah,
has he fallen in the snow in front of you?
Yeah, he's.
That's when you know.
Because that's when you know.
He would never fall. That's just not something he would do.
You should live with someone for a year and watch them fall in the snow before you agree to get married. My two of my closest cousins didn't like me for like 3 years when we were young, because one time they saw me and I had butter on my lip and they thought it was gross. And I found out later in life, they were like, yeah, we didn't like you from the ages like 5 to 8 because you had butter on your lip one time and we thought that was really gross.
I relate to them on that. I really do.
Isn't it funny, the little things? Like, my little daughter, she says about one of my girlfriends, she's like, I don't want to have dinner there. She does this when she eats. She smacks and she's, and so she like doesn't want to have dinner there. Just little things. Won't say who it is.
I get that. Who's the friend? Give us names.
Wait, who is that? Who is the child that's always on your guys' Instagram?
Otto.
Otto. Who's his parents?
His mom is our little sister, Jordan.
Oh, cool. And is favorite daughter all three of you guys?
Yeah.
Do you want Otto on the podcast?
Yeah, we would love Otto on the pod. This was kind of a bridge to Otto, if you will. Yeah.
Most things are bridge to Otto. Title
of Otto. We don't ever want him to A, grow up, or lose the accent, because this is really...
He needs to be in commercials, in feature films.
Or at least a YouTube channel.
I've not seen Otto.
Oh, Otto kills.
What's his accent?
He has a British accent because our brother-in-law is British and just like clung to his dad's accent, even though he grew up in New York. Very cute. He just has like a full, he sounds like Peppa Pig, like a full, and he speaks like, he mimics how his dad speaks. So he uses the language of an adult British man. And it's just really caught fire on the internet.
But that kid that gets paid like 10 mil a year to open toys, like, Otto should be opening toys on YouTube for money.
Fully agree.
Sorry,
Pat is leading the space.
My little sister, actually, I'm home on Long Island, and my little sister no longer felt comfortable with me telling her, can we wait a little while before you come in here? And canonically, my podcast is too dirty for my siblings to hear, so my mom will not let me record it while she's in the room.
Did your sister kick you out of the room?
My sister kicked me out of the room. Yeah.
She did it so swiftly. You didn't even say anything. You didn't have a chance to defend yourself.
She popped in before, and I was like, not right now, and she kind of like left, but I could tell this time, like, she popped in again, and I could kind of tell it was going to be a fight. And even if I kept the room, it was going to be a Pyrrhic victory in which I would have lost more than I even gained just to stay in the room, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
I don't have a room in my parents' house, so I'm kind of like living a nomadic lifestyle.
What happened to the room that used to be yours?
What happened was that they downsized, and they moved to a different house. Well, first of all, actually, in our old house too, they kind of just took away me and my older brother's room, and we kind of had domain of the basement. And then in this new house, like, I guess when they were distributing rooms based on kind of like the power rankings of the fam, I was kind of on a lower rung and did not receive a room.
Or they saw you as someone who really was never going to be coming back home to live there because you are so powerful on your own.
They were like, which one of our children is the most in his power, most likely to own several of his own homes? And they actually decided on me as opposed to my 16-year-old sister.
That sounds fair.
So on our pod, we like to ask everyone the world famous question: who were you, who are you, and who do you want to be? So do you guys want to take turns kind of painting that story for us?
Start with who you were, and by that we generally mean, like, did you have boyfriends in high school? and then kind of go into like what your deal is now, and then like your dream.
Oh my gosh, I'm scared. Like, should I go? I feel like you should go first, but
so you can copy me,
so I can copy.
So you were in Switzerland, and you then you came and you dated Chad Michael Murray, and how was that?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like define my life that way, but those are definitely things that happened.
The pod would. I have to give a fun fact about Aaron. Okay, a fun fact about Aaron is that Aaron literally was on every single drama you can imagine. The OC, House, CSI, Castle, Law and Order. She was in one episode of every like drama that we're obsessed with, and she always played a hooker or a drug addict or a drug dealer or a murderer. It's really funny. It's a real
departure.
It's a real departure from like Aaron the comedian. So I just wanted to throw that in there because
thanks for letting everyone know so they can go Google weird episodes of me with red hair.
I need to know who were you on the OC, because that was my favorite show growing up.
Well, you probably won't recognize me because I've made some slight updates to my face.
Slight updates is an amazing way of saying I had plastic surgery.
I played the bad boy Volchek's girlfriend, and we like killed Misha together.
Oh my god.
Wait, so you're literally like a part of history.
A huge part.
You're a part of history.
I'm a part of history. Not necessarily the one I want to be a part of, but yeah, a history.
That's amazing.
But what were you, I guess, what was your vibe in high school or like, or college or whenever when you were young that you kind of were like, I guess just what was your ethos? Like what was your deal kind of question?
Okay. So in high school, I was like, I was uncomfortable and self-conscious and like awkward and just, I was trying to be emo because I just like thought that that would maybe fill some holes.
Totally.
But it was like I was fake emo, you know? I was like a basic girl pretending to be emo. I got my eyebrow pierced. I dyed my hair purple.
Committed. You really committed.
I was pretty committed to being emo, and I just wanted to be edgy. No.
What were your bands that you were like obsessed with?
My Chemical Romance.
Okay. For sure.
That came later. Tool.
Oh wow,
like Sublime.
You did your homework, I feel, as like a fake emo.
Yeah, I mean, those were real music, like the music thing was genuine. I just wanted to, like, I was very like emotional and deep and like heavy. I was like writing poetry and just a very different version. Today I would say I am now much lighter, physically lighter, shed some emo pounds as well that I carried in high school. And I dyed my hair lighter, and my mood is lighter, and my life is lighter. And like, my goal in life is to always Well, is that the next one?
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, oh, yeah, great. Yeah. Like, I always say this to my husband. It's why I'm so happy that I'm married to the person I'm married to, because I'm married to someone who's really happy. And I always say to him, like, anytime he gets, like, you know, anxious or he gets, like, moody, I'm like, no, 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 no. There's no room for that. All I want in my life is lightness now. Like, everything was very heavy for me before. And now all I want to be is light and, like, flowy. I want to, like, I don't want to get stuck in things. I don't want to be, like, held down and, like, heavy and weighted. I want to feel light. That's all I want, is, like, peace.
I feel like that's a really gorgeous. Good goal. It's a good goal.
Thank you.
I think you're still a poet.
Thank you.
Actually. but a late one. But a late one.
Thank you.
Did you answer where you are now? Because, like, that's, like, yeah. where you want to... Oh, you did.
I said my life now is light.
And, oh, like, your life now is light. But what's your goal? To just continue to be...
Lighter.
So you have no goals.
I'm not light enough.
As light as you can imagine being is what her goal is.
Yeah, okay, I want to be a feather.
Got it. Got it. Light, light, light.
And Sarah, what about you? Who were you?
Okay. Well, high school was very different for me.
Sure was.
My parents believed in me more, so they sent me to private school.
True.
You got the. You didn't get the bedroom.
They couldn't spend the money on everyone, so they picked me. I just high school wasn't that dramatic for me. It was just, I had a lot of friends. I got good grades. I know. I hate to.
Okay, so you were cool. You were popular, and
I was cool.
You're a valedictorian.
I was cool. I always wanted to be friends with, like, the older kids. You know, yeah.
Well, to be clear, she was friends with, like, 35-year-olds, and she was 12.
Yeah, that's true.
That's crazy.
So that's not exactly like sophomore or junior.
Yeah, and she's like 14. Cool. She's like, you guys, is it okay if Demi picks me up? We're like, Demore? Yeah, we just met at a, like, Coffee Bean, and we really vibed. You're like, okay, you're in ninth grade.
Oh, so my God. Friends. I went to, like, the Vanity Fair party when I was, like, 16. You know, like, I, like, glommed onto a friend who got me in. I was not the normal teen.
Was that kind of the vibe of, like...
I wasn't invited, to be clear. I just got in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I wasn't, like, almost invited. Cooler.
Sarah just lived a life where, like, she walked up to doors and they just opened.
Was that the vibe of...
I started
of
clubbing
sort of your...
when I was 14.
I've never clubbing. Even been to a club ever. I'm 29.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't know that I could say I've started clubbing yet. Okay,
I know. There's still time for us, Pat.
Hardcore clubbing.
I'm going to club in my 40s.
Have a couple kids, settle down, start clubbing.
Was that the vibe, though, of your, like, high school? Like, everyone was kind of, like, getting picked up by Demi? Or was that, like, your thing? Was, like, was that, like, normal at your high school?
Did Demi work at your high school?
Was Demi your dance counselor,
and why was she?
Aaron's exaggerating.
No, I'm not. I'm not exaggerating. Tell me what age you were when you became friends with Demi Moore.
Like, 19.
I think it was younger.
Maybe 18. Not before 18. But like Lori. Lori was 30 and I was 14. Listen, guys, I
Who's
was an
Lori?
Old soul. Just like a friend.
Lori is, she created Chrome Hearts.
I'm not sure if I know what that is.
Oh, it's like the clothing brand that Drake wears and everybody wears and Billie Eilish wears. Cool. And like, that's got like
We're
crosses.
Not cool. That's why we don't know that.
We're unfortunately not cool at all.
There is crosses everywhere. Just to be clear, I'm one of you guys, okay? I want you to make that really clear.
Okay, but
no, I was at the Vanity Fair party too.
But I wasn't invited. I just always...
Catherine's like, I'm not one of you. I'm with Sarah.
Sarah's really trying to be one of us by being like, I wasn't invited to the Vanity Fair party. I just walked by and they said, come in. Like, it was
They
not
just saw me
like
and they
that.
Said, we have to have a gorgeous girl like you at the party. That wasn't my scene.
Yeah, she's like, sorry, maybe that wasn't
really
relatable.
The dates,
I was not.
Someone couldn't make it.
No, but guys, also, I have to, fun fact, I was clubbing, but I wasn't like doing drugs. I wasn't getting like fucked up. I wasn't like sleeping with guys. So
well, that's no fun.
No, but that's the thing. I look back and I'm like, oh my God, like the opportunities I not to do drugs, but like the opportunities I had with
you're like I could have done meth. Why didn't I do
could
it?
Have fully done that.
Totally.
No, but I never, it's so interesting being, you know, and obviously a long time.
No, Sarah was a square who clubbed.
I was a square who clubbed. Like I didn't even have fun. I was the one that was like, oh, like everyone's going back to Matt Damon's house, like I have to be up early. I can't, you know, so I didn't really take advantage the way I should have taken advantage.
You would have put years ago if you'd gone back to Matt's house.
By the way, that's like, Matt Damon's actually a bad example because I never saw him at a club.
More like a Ben Affleck.
Probably like a Ben Affleck, yeah.
Oh my God.
Close. I didn't do it right though, guys. I didn't do it right.
Did you have a wild phase eventually?
I never even like slept with anyone cool. I never, it was just.
Well, you've dated cool people.
What were your guys' big relationships before your currents? But you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
You know, I mean, I've been with the same person for 15 years.
That's crazy. What's the secret?
I mean, honestly, the secret when we met, he was a professional. I mean, he was a professional athlete our entire relationship up until 2 years ago. He retired. So yeah. There's something to
be
said.
The secret is having him be a professional athlete.
The secret is having him be really hot is what you said.
Hot and really fit. Hot and really fit is the secret. But like there is something to be said for, you know, 3 weeks on, a week off. 4 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Like there is something to be said about that. COVID's been challenging. COVID, we're like living together for the first time in our life.
I actually totally agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's truly, I mean, if we had to exist how we're existing now, I don't know. It would have been a different, it would have been a lot more work. It's a lot, it's just different.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a person that I would like to be near me all of the time.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Like that's a crazy idea.
Agreed.
How long have you been married, Erin?
I have been married for just over a year. We got married New Year's Eve 2020. So right before the pandemic.
Oh my God. I love New Year's Eve wedding vibe.
Don't brag about it though. Whatever you do, don't brag about it.
Yeah, I almost got canceled for like joking about it.
We lost jobs, you guys. We had to apologize to people. We were, you know, because, well.
Turns out brides are very sensitive.
Because COVID brides.
Don't mess with a bride. Do not.
Basically, I don't know, March or April, a few months into the pandemic. And there was like a meme going around that was really popular that was like, not to brag, but what a time to not have kids, because everyone was like stuck at home with their 3-year-old, you know,
which is funny.
Yeah.
And I posted it and everyone thought it was funny. You know, a lot of people liked it. And then a few days later, I posted a photo of my wedding because I got married, you know, the last day of 2020, like before the world fell apart. And I posted a picture of my wedding and said, not to brag, but what a time to have already had your wedding.
Yeah.
And that one did not go over so well. And all these brides, like thousands of brides tried to cancel me. And like it worked.
Thousands.
I mean, it didn't work fully, but like we lost jobs over it.
By the way, thousands of brides, like people writing into companies that we, you know, are advisors to going, this is irresponsible for you to have someone as
awful. People saying to me like, I'm sorry, but the global team isn't comfortable working with you after that joke.
I'm sorry, brides are not a marginalized community. I have to kind of say that.
Agree.
Brides are actually not someone who need a platform.
It was really crazy. People were like blaming me for like a sick parent who is sick with COVID not being able to make it to their wedding, and then I made fun of that. I was like, God. I don't think I did.
Well, you did start the pandemic. Well, you famously.
you did start the pandemic, and you did specifically make fun of their parents. So
yeah, some people even said
that
it was like
crazy.
That being like, I'm privileged for being able to have had my wedding, and I was like, I didn't know there was a pandemic coming. Like my privilege didn't give me that wedding date. Anybody could have had that wedding date. Like
yeah,
it was just a bizarre. I will say this, that like when people apologize and like grovel after getting canceled, I look and I'm like, why are you doing that? Just like, don't acknowledge it. Like, this is such a ridiculous thing to get canceled for. And then when it's happening to you, it feels so crazy. And
she sent us like 14 apology takes.
I kept sending versions of my apology to my sister and my husband together. And they kept being like, because I needed to go alone in a room to do it to my phone, you know? And I kept sending it to them. And they kept being like, you still sound condescending.
Well, no, because you know the apology videos that you're like, you're apologizing, but you're like, you clearly like, okay, fine, I'm sorry. Like, if that'll make you feel better, basically. Like no,
I'm
Erin.
Sorry if your feelings were hurt, even though they shouldn't have been. My heart wasn't in the apology because it seemed like such a trivial thing for people to be obsessing over. And it felt like... just such a, like, there was nothing about it that was intended to be mean-spirited. It was like all the jokes everyone was making, but it just hit really sensitively to a lot of COVID brides. And, you know, I personally had like at least 6 friends who were meant to get married in 2021. Their weddings got canceled. Like, no one cared. Like, no one was actually offended that knew me. And
you're like, some of my best friends are brides.
Yeah, exactly.
But you guys, think about what we're talking about. When she posted a meme, not to brag, but what a time to not have kids. Not one person was like, this is insensitive. I can't have children. How could you say this? I am having fertility issues. My child, I lost my child. I mean, think about it like that. Nobody was upset, but you go after the brides and it's like.
I had no idea brides were
like that.
This is a product that me and Pat get really horny for.
We're talking about
public goods. We're talking about public goods when we say this.
Which is, say it with me, the one-stop shop for sustainable, high-quality, everyday essentials made from clean ingredients at an affordable price. Everything from coffee to toilet paper and shampoo to pet food. Public Goods is your new everything store. Thoughtfully designed for the conscious consumer for once.
And not to sound like so shallow, but I love the aesthetic of Public Goods because it's not like all jarring, like bright colors. Like this isn't the 80s anymore, people. It's actually 2021 and everything's like chic and black and white. And it does, I've said this before, but it does feel like it gives me Dharma Initiative vibes for those who do wash. Who did watch the ABC television program Lost. And everything is like so sustainable. So I actually feel good about myself for one single second when I use them because it feels like I'm doing one small positive thing for this gorgeous blue marble we call the earth just by using Public Goods dish soap even.
Because randomly Public Goods, they go ahead, they search the globe, they find clean, healthy, eco-friendly, and innovative products. So what they do at Public Goods, essentially, is they ethically source and obsessed, develop each of their products to be free of unhealthy ingredients and harmful additives. Still common on drug and grocery store shelves, seek treatment, drug and grocery store shelves. They are committed to making their products healthy and safe for humans, animals, and the environment.
And they use a membership model to keep costs low and pass on even more savings to their customers. Best of all, you can make your purchase with no obligation.
They plant one tree for every order placed and incorporate sustainability into every part of the company. So go ahead, join hundreds of thousands of others who have switched to their new everything store.
We worked out an awesome deal just for Seek Treatment listeners. Receive $15 off your first Public Goods order with no minimum purchase. That's right.
What?
Yeah, they are so confident that you will absolutely capital L-O-V-E love their products and come back again and again, that they are giving you $15 to spend on your first purchase. Plus, right now, as we sit and breathe, receive your choice of either a free pack of bamboo straws or reusable food storage wraps with your order.
You have nothing to lose, honey, bunny. Just go to publicgoods.com/seek treatment or use code SEEK treatment at checkout. That is PUBLICGOODS.com/seek treatment to receive $15 off your first order.
Anyways, wait, so Sarah, what is your dream?
Oh God, okay. We're still back to that? Okay. Well, back to that.
Yeah, who were you?
That's who I was.
You were Belle of the Ball. You killed it. High school was a dream. And then who are you now?
I broke into the Vanity Fair party. Who am I now? Well, I mean, listen, I obviously got put in my place, you know, because you can't just sustain doors opening for you, you know, your luck runs out and you have to, you know, get your shit together and
at some point the Vanity Fair party ends.
Some point the invite
the metaphorical stuff. Vanity Fair party has to end sometime.
Yeah, and you have to like reevaluate and figure out what you're really good at and, you know, work hard to get those doors open. So, you know, I think I redirected my focus probably in my late 20s and realized that I wasn't going to get jobs by going, you know, on auditions that I didn't prepare for and, you know, all the things that came easy in my early 20s were not coming as easy in my late 20s. So I think it was like a real, not like kick in the pants, but I got put in my place, you know, and I had to like reprioritize and go back to the drawing board a little bit. And
so who are you?
So who am I? So I'm someone who's a lot more grateful. I was never grateful for all the opportunities that I had. I totally took them for granted. And now I'm someone where, you know, any good thing that happens professionally or personally or whatever, I really am grateful for it. And whereas before I was like, this is crazy. How did I not get that job? You know, now like anytime I do get a job, I'm like, oh my God, really? Are you sure they want me? You know, so you know, I ate like a lot of humble pie and I'm just really grateful for any good thing that happens. I'm really grateful for it. So totally. I would say I have, you know, gratitude in my life that I never used to have. And I want to just double down on that and keep, you know, finding more gratitude. And I don't know. I'm always sort of trying to better myself. And I guess what Aaron said about being happy, like I want to be happy. I want to wake up and I want to feel like I want to be able to celebrate my wins more instead of always searching for what the next win is. I think it's totally. Like, yeah, like good things happen. And I never stop to go, holy shit.
I can't believe this just happened. I'm always like, that's not enough. What's next?
Totally.
Yeah, that's so relatable. It's hell.
And then what do you guys want to do, like, do you want to, like, act in big stuff? Is, like, acting really important to you? Or is it, like, fashion stuff is really important to you? Or, like...
Well, I think, look, I think Erin and I really found this special thing in Barely Famous. I mean, Erin knew she was funny for a while. She was writing on a Ryan Murphy comedy. Like, I found my comedic voice later. And we had this special thing in the show. And it would be really... it would be a disservice to not do that again.
Disservice to the totally. World.
Disservice to the world. Do I want to, like, go on auditions for, you know, some, like,
a Crest commercial?
Server number two in The Crown? Like, no, I don't.
I mean, being in The Crown
I would love that.
Yeah, you have to, like,
I'm currently
actress,
in the conversation for 9 different gay waiter roles, so fingers crossed.
I'm sure you know what it's like about, you know, when you, once you start writing and you write a role for yourself, which we did with Barely Famous, it's kind of hard to come back from that. Like, I don't have any desire to be in a TV show or a movie that somebody else writes unless it's totally. Something that I'm a part of on the other end, because I can help kind of curate and cater to the voice that mm-hmm. I know I'm good at now. Because I think, I mean, I've known this for a while, and I secretly knew it when I was in the OC and CSI and all that, is that I'm not a great actress in general. I'm good at playing myself. Like, I'm good at playing in a comedy.
Larry David.
I'm good at playing the role that, like, I write for myself in my voice, but I'm not, like, able to just play anything at all. So it kind of always gave me anxiety on set, feeling like, you know, I never was able to, like, drop into the role. I always felt totally. Very, like, self-conscious. And the only time I ever felt really relaxed and comfortable was when I was doing improv and stand up and the stuff that felt more like myself.
Yeah, but I call bullshit on that, because daddy issues, which is, you were totally playing.
I wrote it.
Yeah, you wrote it. But still, like, Don Johnson was your father. Like, yes, of course you wrote it, but it was still a character, and you were very good in that. So you're just, well, stop fishing
you.
For compliments.
No, I'm not.
It's, like, so brutal.
No, but I literally
girls,
wrote that
play
show.
Play nice.
I wrote it for myself.
Yeah, but you weren't playing yourself.
No, but I just said, okay, we'll
definitely. Wait, so I'm curious, when did y'all start working together? Like, seriously?
Barely Famous.
Barely Famous, the first thing we ever did together.
Wow.
How did that start? How do you guys, and also shout out to Naomi Akparagen, friend of the pod, is in
two.
Barely Famous.
Naomi,
oh my god,
manager.
Funniest woman alive.
Oh,
she's
so
one
funny.
Of our favorite episodes is Naomi's episode of this podcast.
Really? She's so funny. She's really great. Yeah. She was really fun to work with. Barely Famous happened because I had been writing on this Ryan Murphy comedy, and then it got canceled. Sarah and I had never worked together, and we have a lot of family members that we've been related to through marriage that have been on a lot of reality shows, and we never have, because that just was not something that we wanted to do. And so my manager made a joke to me and was like, so funny, all my clients are trying to get on reality shows and pitch reality shows, and I get all these incoming calls of, like, when are we doing the Foster Sisters reality show? And you guys are just trying to avoid being on a reality show. And they're like, that's really funny. And then we kind of, like, looked at each other and we were like, is that, like, a weird, funny show idea? It's like two girls who say they'll never do a reality show, so they're filming a reality show about that. And it took a long time for us to, like, figure out the logistics of how that worked and, like, how meta it would be and how inside baseball it would be and how, like, when you drop the fourth wall, meaning, like, looking at the camera, when you don't. And it just kind of, like, it just worked. And we pitched it to VH1 and a bunch of other places. VH1 was the only one who immediately said yes.
Well, FX liked it. FX was like, we love this, but we want, like, the really dark version. We want the version where, like, reality TV, like, completely ruins your family. We were like,
Yeah, we're like, that's not really what we're trying to make.
That's not what we're trying to do.
I do love when, like, someone's like, I love this so fucking much, and it needs to be exactly different than this,
yeah,
and nothing like this, and that is really the key to success.
Yeah, like, I love this show, it needs to be French with a different lead, and it needs to be about murder. You're like, okay, yeah. Barely Famous.
We love you so much, and your idea is so not what we love, but yeah. You. Oh,
we want it to be really God, dark. You. Also, we don't want you guys starring in it, but, like, great idea. We'll buy it.
We don't totally. By any means want either of you connected
but
to the project.
But it's not about you. Don't take this personally. It's not about
yeah, of course.
You.
It's just business.
Yeah.
Wait, what was I just going to say? I forget.
Wait, so Sarah, you have two kids?
Yeah.
How old are they?
10 and 5.
Oh my God, what is that like? Did you always want to be a mom?
It's like Lord of the Flies. No, we always joke. We're like, it's so weird because I was up until recently a very selfish person. Some would say I'm still selfish.
Some would say some are sitting right here.
But but like if you ask my friends, they'd say I'm very giving. If you ask
I don't think they
Aaron,
would.
They think say I'm very selfish.
Your friends call me all the time and say your sister won't call me back. What do I have to say to get her to call me back? And the joke is that you either have to call Sarah and ask her a question about plastic surgery to get her to respond.
I'll respond about that.
Or say that like you're dying. And those are the only two ways that Sarah will engage.
Death, I will. Oh my God,
when should I get
respond.
Botox?
Oh, you
Sarah's
don't need
the person
it.
To ask.
You don't need it.
Well, there's a Zoom. Thank you so much. And you're legally obligated to say that. But there is a Zoom. This is you're seeing me through Zoom. So you don't know
you
my
have
truth.
Like your forehead's so flat. Like you need nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
How no, old you're like should 12. I do it, though?
How old are you? You're very young, right? Yeah. You're in your 20s?
I'm really young. I'm...
She's going to be 30 in a couple months.
Yeah. Ew, disgusting. No. Get it immediately.
Ew, I'm 30 years ago.
Get it immediately.
Oh, not calling God. Your friends back is not selfish. That's not the right.
Oh, you're still stuck on that?
That's not the right word to use for not being responsive on text.
Okay.
Well, you did say all of my friends would say that I'm so giving. Mm, so sure. It was kind of in response to that maybe that Aaron most. Said.
Thank maybe, you for remembering things.
Maybe most of them no problem. Would say that. But anyways, back to the kids. Mm.
Sarah's like, let's get off this topic. It is not going my way.
It was just, it wasn't like the, you know, my 10-year-old was, I don't want to say like she wasn't planned, but like, because we were in a very serious relationship for many years and we were engaged and, you know, but it was like very, it was very out of character for me to all of a sudden wind up pregnant and have to be responsible for another human and have to take care of someone else and, you know, whatever.
It definitely didn't make sense that Sarah was became a mom first.
No. And I like didn't have a, I didn't have like a babysitter. I didn't have help. I was just like, it was just me and this baby and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And everyone was like, yeah. Can you get a baby oh, nurse? Scary. And I was like, no, I'm not getting a baby nurse. Like, I breastfed for 2 years. I didn't go out. I, like, my friend got married when my kid was, like, 7 weeks old. I was like, I can't go to your wedding. It was, like, down the street. I just became very maternal, all about the baby. I just, it brought out this side in me that I never expected.
Yeah. Wait, what was crazy. I going to say?
Very off-brand. It was very off-brand.
But you had a lot of younger sibs. Did you, like, know kids from that? Were you familiar with the
no,
concept of kids?
No, I only had like one or two friends that had kids at this time.
But what about like your siblings and stuff?
What did they
Sarah,
know? They didn't.
Sarah was not maternal with me when we were growing up.
Oh,
no, like, I mean like you. I'm like the second of six. And I identify as raising everyone
oh,
who's
no,
younger
no,
than
no.
me.
Well, Aaron
family.
And I are only a year and a half apart, so I couldn't do anything.
Oh, okay,
for her.
Yeah.
And how many other sibs do y'all have?
We have one full sister, Jordan, who's younger than us, 3 years younger right. than me. And we have two half-sisters, both from different moms.
Okay, cool. Wait, I want to hear about the clothing brand.
Ooh, favorite daughter. Sarah and I did this collaboration with a company called Suburban Riot. We made a bunch of like t-shirts and sweatshirts with them.
But by the way, not as a joke, but just as a like, oh fuck it, yeah, like we can create like our funny captions.
Yeah,
for
we just wanted to see
sweatshirts. We weren't like, let's get into the clothing business.
No, we just want to see like if we liked it or not, and if it was fun. And I liked their stuff and was a fan of theirs. And so we brought a bunch of captions and ideas to them of different things. And you know, I made a sweatshirt that said "Dying Alone" with a cat on it, and you know, undiscovered model. And we made a t-shirt that said "Favorite Daughter." It was Sarah's idea, and we just did that. And I was like, oh, I don't know, it's kind of cheesy, like it's cutesy, I don't love it, but we did it, and then it like just sold like crazy, and
wow.
It became this big thing because people would buy it in multiples because they'd buy them for their siblings, so it like it just sold really, really
mothers
well.
Mothers would buy it for their daughter. I mean, it was just,
and you'd buy three instead of one, and like all three girls would wear it and take a picture together, and it just kind of became like a thing that we were associated with. And and then the partnership was like ending, and this company called Centric Brands came to us. They own a lot of really big brands. And they wanted us to be the faces of Joe's Jeans for a season and like do a campaign and do like design denim with them. And then in addition to that, wanted to start a brand called Favorite Daughter with us based on like,
amazing.
You know, this thing that had done really well. And it's a company that Sarah and I have had with our sisters for like 13 years. We've had like this LLC called Favorite Daughter that I named like, I don't know, 13 years ago that we thought we'd like do business together and never really like used it for very much, but we had it. And so we turned it into a brand, and now, and we brought our little sister Jordan in with us, and it's like 4 months old. It's doing well, and we're really proud of it.
Oh my God. Amazing.
That's awesome.
Cause that color is very hypnotizing that you're wearing.
Thank you. It's a pink cardigan for everyone wondering. It's the Rebecca cardigan in pink.
Yeah. That if you heard it here first, the Rebecca cardigan in pink is, quote, hypnotizing.
We are not only online, we are also in Nordstrom.
Ever heard of it?
Okay. I feel so safe at Nordstrom. It's like, it's so much safer than, like, you know, you go to Neiman Marcus, you go to Saks. I don't feel safe. But at Nordstrom, they take care of you. I love the shoe department. I love the guy playing piano. I love Nordstrom.
I literally just want to feel about something the way that my boyfriend feels about Nordstrom. It's like the most random, like, love, like, endearment he has for the Nordstrom community.
I love Nordstrom.
I think it's Nordstrom nostalgic.
Brought my mom and I closer together.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's nostalgic with, like, your mom bringing you to Nordstrom as a kid.
Yes.
Back to school shopping at Nordstrom.
Oh my God. The last time I was in Nordstrom was like triggering because it was like my boyfriend was doing his Drag Race audition tape. And so it was a very work intensive. And I'm not someone who I would say when someone's like, can you do this chore for me as a favor? I'm like jumping out of my chair to aid in that. He had seen in a Nordstrom these Jessica Simpson boots that he thought would be like very funny in this drag thing, but he didn't remember where they were. So I was like, and I said I would go get them because he had like a million other errands to do. So it's in the Union Square Nordstrom rack, actually, I think, digging through boxes, looking, because, like, their shoes weren't all, like, organized, really, looking for these very specific, like, glitter pink Jessica Simpson boots. And I had to, like, ask a woman, I was like, hi, I'm looking for your Jessica Simpson pink glitter boots. And it was, like, just, like, wasn't what I saw for myself, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Totally. Life happens when you're busy making other plans, Pat. I just exactly. made that up. I just made up that phrase. Wait, before we wrap up, we need to hear about y'all's new pod.
Yes, we are some of the first people to do a podcast.
You're pioneers.
There aren't very many to choose from.
Thank you for blazing that trail. Yeah.
Yes, if you guys have any questions, by the way, we are happy to teach you how to hold the mic and like how to do it on your computer and all that.
But what's so crazy is we've been talking for years, right? Like people have said like, you guys should do a podcast. We're like, should we do a podcast? But we never got our shit together. So we are the last people on earth with the podcast.
Which is why it's called the world's first podcast.
The world's first podcast.
when does it come out?
May 6th.
May 6th. We're just going to talk to people who, you know, who can talk to us about things that we care about, things we're interested in, people who are much more intelligent than us on subject matters.
For sure than you.
For sure than me. That matter to us, whether it's fertility, matchmaking, relationships, religion, business, all the things.
Yeah, we have like a rabbi who helped convert me because I converted to Judaism.
Oh my God. I think I knew that about you.
Yeah, we also have my husband on one of them.
Well, because we asked that we polled our audience. We were like, who do you guys, you know, who do you guys want us to have on the podcast? And we were, and, you know, I was thinking people would be like Kim Kardashian, Gwyneth Paltrow. And I think the main person people wanted was Simon.
Yeah, it's true.
So we were like, okay, well, fuck it. Let's do, that's easy. Oh, he's a lot God. Easier to get.
People do get off on that. Like when one of our boyfriends comes on this, people like do like that little glimpse.
Listen, it's so fun. Getting a little window into someone's relationship and like
what
those people
it's more
disagree
interesting
about
someone, like who already you see on social media and they're kind of performing something.
Exactly. I think it's much more interesting to have a peek inside like the intimate parts of a relationship, like the
totally
fights. And
now before we go, we gotta do, first of all, do you feel hot today, Pat?
You know, I do kind of feel hot because I actually did a chest day for the second time in a row because I took a long time off. I took 3 days off from the gym because of my COVID vaccine. Thank you. So, and my boyfriend's last thing he had done was, his next day was chest day. So I just did a second chest day in a row. And sometimes when you do two chest days in a row, you just feel so in your power because your chest is kind of your most sexual muscle if you're a masculine.
Right.
And so.
Mine's my ass as a feminine.
Mine's my ass too.
Well, as a gay masculine, my chest and my ass are both sexual, and that's what's so crazy about the gay experience. And so
that must be really hard for you. And I'm glad you could open up about that today on the podcast.
It's so hard to manage those two sexual muscles of my glutes and my pectorals. Right. So yeah, I do actually feel hot right now, right this second as I sit here.
Good for you.
That's beautiful. And Sarah and Aaron, do y'all feel hot today?
I don't.
I feel hot, but in the sense of it's 103 degrees here today for some reason. Ew, I got into my car and my dash thinks at 103 degrees. So I'm feeling hot, but not a good way hot.
When you get in a car and it's hot, it's like, it's like
Dante wishes. Okay?
Dante wishes. Show me when you get in a car and it's hot, it's Dante wishes.
Catherine, do you feel hot? You're wearing eyeliner, actually, which to me signifies like you're like, leaning in. That's what I
thank
what
you I, for noticing I that I did I do so I until 2 days ago I was quarantining. I was working in Toronto and quarantining alone in a hotel room by myself for 3 weeks and so now that I'm back in New York and like around people, I feel so erotic and so horny and hot.
Oh, lucky for your boyfriend.
Catherine, are you in a relationship?
I am, with my boyfriend whose name is Brian.
Shut up.
Brian. Isn't that a tale as old as time? I was just saying, I went to prom with a girl named Lauren, and I said, like,
having a boyfriend named Brian is in that genre.
Yes, since the beginning of humans, people have been going to prom with someone named Lauren and having a boyfriend named Brian.
It's totally so true.
Pat, you are so freaking funny.
That is not true, Sarah. That is not true. You're embarrassing me.
No, you are. You're so funny, and I'm so excited for people to like see you in a whole other fucking way, because you're
just, I know we're I won't say that we're working on something together, me and the Foster sisters.
Sure, are really we sure
Pat
are.
Is a very very talented writer.
It's true. True, what can that you can you what can you share with our listeners?
It's not a secret. 20th bought it.
No, it's yeah, right? Yeah, 20th bought it, and that's true. No, I wrote a pilot called I don't want to say the name because I bet it will change, but it's about
what it'll I never change, really?
It won't. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Oh, I don't know why I'm being so crazy.
Anyway, 20th Disney bought Pat's script. Pat wrote a script that was very everyone was talking about it. It was a real bidding war kind of situation.
Yes.
We beat out all the
other losers.
Losers trying to get it. No, actually, like some big names.
And then we brought it to the 20th. They bought
it. And then 20th bought it, Disney, which is.
And now we're shopping it around.
Now we're shopping it around. Yeah, it's been so fun. I mean, it's like.
It's such a funny script.
It's a really hard. It's a really challenging process on a writer, and you are managing it very well because it's very frustrating.
Thank God. I always, every time we have like a Zoom or something, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, did I just sound crazy? You know what I mean?
No, it's just. It's really, I mean, listen, it's also the timing of all this has been really shitty. It's just it's a really hard time now to sell a show because all these networks got really backed up through COVID because they couldn't shoot.
So they bought so much stuff.
They held on to so much and then they bought stuff just to like do something. And now they have all the stuff that they haven't made from the previous year and the new stuff that they bought. And it's just like so much harder to get to sell something. And it sucks because I think, whatever, it's going to sell, but. It's an amazing script, and you're a great writer.
Thank you so much. Very funny. I'm really excited. You know, I've started writing just for my own little writer's exercise, not to be a nerd, but I've started writing a second episode just to see, like,
love
where it
that.
Might go.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah.
It's been
really
fun.
Hell
it's
yeah. Really you should silly. Do that, because you know what? It is a muscle, and trust me, like, I stopped writing for a while and got busy doing other things, and it was, like, hard to get back into it. It really, you gotta, like, keep it going.
It's so hard to make
it. And actually, I'm gonna amend what I said before and say I have three sexual muscles, and that's my ass, my chest, and my writing muscle, my brain.
Oh, yes.
Good for
yeah.
you.
Three
by the way,
muscles.
I feel very sexy when I write something great.
Oh, totally.
Oh, there's no better feeling.
When you're typing quickly, it's like you literally are a sex goddess.
Yeah. Never forget when my high school crush watched me log in to do a PowerPoint presentation for my class, and he goes, "Whoa, you're a fast typer."
Oh my God.
I was like, "Oh, excuse me while I slide off my chair, sir," is what I said. Like, come on. But anyways, I think that's like...
Oh, question! I do have a question of the week. No,
we don't. We don't. It's only Pat that has to go. The hard out Pat.
That's what I've always called him. That's what his mom called him when he popped out.
From an early age, I've had a hard out. From an early age, I was in kindergarten. I have a hard out.
That is so funny.
No, actually, when I was in kindergarten, this is so embarrassing. When I was in kindergarten, they gave everyone in the class the option to do full days or half days. And because I have like a late birthday, I was four for like the first half of kindergarten. My mom said that I should have a half day. no one else in the class. So every day, like halfway, I'd be like, bye everyone. Red, like go.
That explains so much.
Yeah. I also, there was like nap time. So like you had to bring in a pillow. And because I liked dogs when I was little, which is so ironic because now I don't care about dogs. And my mom sewed me like a pillow with all these little like rainbow colored, rainbow colored dogs on it.
Your
and
for some reason,
like it became cool in my... It became cool in my kindergarten class to make fun of my dog pillow. So I would never take it out. I would just sleep. But when we changed seats, you had to take it out from under your seat and walk. So I would take my dog pillow out. People would point at it and laugh. And I would try to hide it. While made it and like, put it. I don't know why I didn't just like throw it out. But I was, you had to keep it. LOL.
You were so cute.
That would happen to Josie. I guess like kindergarten was formative for me. Because then also one time we went to, you know, when you go to like the bathroom in kindergarten and like you go in like a line and the teacher brings you and then you come back. I don't know what I was doing. I was probably like dissociating the whole time. Like, I don't remember. I just got back and completely to my shock, the teacher's assistant was like, they were all really bad at the bathroom except for Patrick Regan. And then the teacher was like, okay, only Patrick Regan can have play time. So everyone else is sitting at the table in timeout and I have to like build blocks like in front of everyone. It was like the most awkward experience of my life. I was like, to try to play with blocks in front of a bunch of people who are not allowed to is like really traumatizing.
Very young.
God, but I love that you remember that. But that is such a vivid memory.
The pillow story breaks my heart.
Yeah, the pillow story breaks my heart.
I know. Sweet Pat Regan.
It's really fucked up that like good people that are like normal, all of us sitting here, like we're like mean, we're like really mean to someone in like preschool and kindergarten. Like it's really fucked up how like kids are just mean. It's why is that there? Why does that happen?
By the way, I want to like beat up kids. Is this a safe place to say this? Like when my kid comes home.
I don't ever think about kids or no one. I don't know any kids.
To me, if I was a parent, because I have a lot of little siblings or like little kids, like when I think of like someone being mean to... I mean, if I was like a parent, I would literally go crazy thinking about just the possibility.
That's like why I can't have kids, because it breaks my heart. I'm too sensitive.
But like, what are the rules?
Because my team of doctors.
Can you grab a kid? You can't even grab a kid, right? Because I have thoughts. Like, I just want to like go up to a kid and be like, hey, little shithead, get up, you know, just like not hurt him, but just like grab him.
Is this just any kid or a bully?
No, like kids that are mean to my kids.
Oh, there's some really nice kids. She has some really nice kind children.
Yeah, so I was like, I just want to take this sweet little angel and fucking smack her upside the head and say, you're an idiot. Are you allowed to do that?
Okay.
Your heart out has arrived?
My heart out has arrived. I've theoretically...
He's doing a half day.
But so anyways, I will say I do have a crush of the week. My crush of the week is the cast, crew, and everyone involved in the project of Big Shot with Bethany Frankel on HBO Max.
Oh, which is that trailer is fab.
I mean, it is the... I say this with love. It is the stupidest thing that's ever been made. And for that reason, I love it so much.
Is this a show?
It's a show where Bethany...
You have
looking
to watch
her.
This trailer. It's amazing.
Bethany is vaguely looking for her number two to help her run her business.
It's and very it unclear starts, what that means, by
she,
the way.
So there's 10 contestants. Within the first 10 minutes, she has eliminated 5 of them, like, off the bat.
Is this like a Bravo-type show?
It's a cocktail... It starts with a cocktail hour where she doesn't know, but, like, Bethany has spies at the cocktail hour, like, looking to see if the candidates are, like, being good at being at a cocktail hour. But also, there's these shots of Bethany upstairs, like... peeking out the curtain, like watching, and it's just like, it's just so crazy.
That's
and,
amazing. Well, yeah. I didn't know that we were doing a crush of the week. Can I say mine really quickly?
Please.
Yes.
My husband.
Oh, okay. Yes, my husband always is my crush. And my crush this week specifically, though, is the grandma from Minari that won the Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's a good crush of the week.
So good. My crush of the week, I decided, is my dad got me these running recovery sandals, and I'm really enjoying them.
Oh, really?
Wow. Wait.
Very comfortable.
I don't have a crush.
Sometimes people don't have them, and we, like, embrace
And it's
embrace
totally
that.
Natural.
We, like,
it's
celebrate
totally
it.
But, I mean, shout out to, while you're on the Minari woman, Brad Pitt. Like, why does this guy age backwards? I don't get it.
Maybe he's
it
your crush
so
of the
crazy.
Week.
It is so crazy.
No, definitely not. But, like, how does this guy not age?
Well, listen, she just made a crush of the week her, like, sandals, so it can be anything.
Yeah. She just did something really crazy when she talked about those sandals towards us.
I crush on sandals. Like,
I don't know. My week has been really boring, uneventful. Nothing good's happened. I haven't seen any shows. Everything. I have no crush.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Really... Hey. Okay.
I know. It's like really
no, we
sad.
We only sometimes have them.
But guess what? I'm going to find gratitude in that.
Yes.
You know, our final segment is, of course, Pat.
Oh, yes.
Aaron, Sarah, are you mad at me?
I'm not mad at you today.
Wait, the girl, Aaron's mad at me.
No, how could I be mad at you? You're like, wonderful.
Oh my God, I love it. Pat, go ahead. What were you saying?
I'm zero mad at you.
Catherine, are you mad at me?
No, no, I've missed you so much. You have a special glow about you because you're not in the city, I can tell.
Definitely. We end every episode by everyone kind of just like checking in, like asking if they're mad.
Oh,
just
like, are we good?
Move on with our days with serenity and peace, you know what I mean?
Should we do lighter this to each other?
Tomorrow for
you. You guys should do it to each other, I think.
Okay. Ask me.
I don't want to know.
Okay, well, I am mad at you.
She just lives mad at me.
Are you mad at me?
Wow. Okay, perfect.
Wow, that's powerful.
So it seems like the only negative vibe here is with you. Is you're the only one with anger in your heart. We're all happy. We have peace. So it turns out the one that who wants to be light like a feather is really holding on to some stuff here.
Not quite light enough.
Yeah, I guess
not. It's hard.
You guys, you guys have a really good vibe. I hope that we can have even remotely the same vibe as you guys on our podcast. Because you're very I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be good at this.
I think you'll be naturals.
You guys have been very easy guests, and it's not easy to do Zoom with multiple guests.
Yeah,
it usually is like a shit show, and so this was like easy, which it almost never is. So I think that you guys would do very well.
Well, we really, really enjoyed this.
We need listeners.
Well, thank you so much.
Everyone, listen to their podcast.
Yeah, I think listen to their podcast.
Don't listen to ours instead of listening to this one. Just like listen to it in addition.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I actually have a rule where I only want us to have 30 listeners because I don't like when it gets more than that. Yeah, so if we already have 30, if we have 30, then I would say everyone else can go to
the rest
to their podcast.
We'll take your overflow.
We'll take the overflow.
Right. Thank you guys so much for doing the pod. It was so nice to meet you. I've heard so much about you from Allison and Pat. So I'm glad we could finally get on Zoom for
once. We're really excited that we finally got to do it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Of course.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment.